Hi, this is Ray Martinez. Thank you for joining my podcast today. We're going to be talking about understanding fear according to Jesus. Fear is a natural human emotion that can be caused by various factors, including perceived danger, the uncertainty, or the unknown. In this podcast, we'll explore what Jesus says about fear and its effects on our lives and how we can overcome it. The nature of fear, according to Jesus, fear is a common human emotion that can manifest in many different ways. Our reading today is from Matthew 10:28, and he says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus said some strong words there. Jesus acknowledges that there are real threats and dangers in the world, but he urges his followers to trust in God and not be consumed by fear. Here are some effects of fear. Jesus warns that fear can have negative effects in our lives, both physically and spiritually. In Matthew 14:31, he says to Peter, who was walking on the water with him, "You of little faith," he says, "why did you doubt?" Jesus points out that fear can prevent us from fully trusting in God and can lead to doubt and lack of faith. So you know what happened. Peter sunk in the water and Jesus had to rescue him when he cried out to him. So there's kind of a dual lesson in there. Fear steals peace and contentment. When we're always afraid or life becomes centered on pessimism and gloom, fear creates this doubt. God promises an abundant life, but if we surrender instead of to the chains of fear, our prayers won't be worth very much. Isaiah 35:4 says, "Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and with the recompense of God, he will come and save you." Jesus offers several strategies for overcoming fear and anxiety. In John 14:27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Jesus encourages his followers to seek his peace and trust in his presence rather than being consumed by fear. 1 Corinthians 2:3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling." Paul continues on with this dialogue and he says, "And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." When Paul talks about his fear with much trembling, he draws a contrast between himself and professional public speakers who used eloquence and wisdom to gather an audience. The apostle was a skillful speaker, but his delivery may have been unimpressive by the Corinthian standards. You can see that in 2 Corinthians 10:10. Paul declares his manner to be another example of the paradoxical nature of God's strength in weakness. Now let's think about the power of faith. Jesus emphasizes the importance of faith in overcoming fear. In Matthew 17:20, he says, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Jesus urges his followers to have faith in God's power and presence rather than being consumed by fear. Trusting in God, so important. This is a final statement that I want to share with you, that Jesus encourages his followers to trust in God's provision and care, even in the face of fear. In Matthew 6:25 through 26, he says, "Therefore," and when you see the word "therefore" in the Bible, find out what it's there for. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Jesus reminds us that we are valuable to God and that we can trust in His care and provisions even in uncertain or fearful situations. Jesus speaks of fear as a common human emotion that can be overcome through faith in God and trust in His provisions and care. He warns of the negative effects of fear or in our lives and offers strategies to overcome it, including seeking His peace, having faith, and trusting in God's care. Fear is mentioned 365 times in the Bible, so it's kind of a big deal, and we should deal with it. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." In another version, it says, "in a sound mind." 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." Similarly, God wants to instill a sense of healthy fear in our hearts to keep us from making poor decisions contrary to His commandments. Because we believe His guidelines are for our good, our posture of submission and gratitude compels us to obey His voice. Here's some takeaways that I came up with to overcome fear. Number one, read, study, meditate on the Word of God and trust in God and His Word. Secondly, remember who you are and whose you are. Third, examine yourself. Fourth, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Here's the fifth point, encourage yourself. Sometimes we have a tendency to beat ourselves up, and we should be encouraging ourselves. This is creating this confidence that God has given us. Number six, refuse to speak curses over your life. Quit condemning yourself. Quit calling yourself down. I don't know how many times I hear people doing that, and they just give up even publicly. You can't do that, especially when you're walking in the light of God. Number seven, in every situation, look beyond the surface and discern the presence of God. As it is written, according to Romans 8, 36 and 37, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Think about what that says. Not only do you conquer, but He says it's much more than that. You're more than a conqueror. So there's much to reap from God's presence and His Word and our convictions and our faith. If you take a look at Acts 18:10 and Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, there is nothing to fear." That's when it says, "Fear not." Just think of it that way. There's nothing to fear. "For I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden your difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice." Remember that great story in the Old Testament when Elisha's servant was fearful because they were surrounded by the enemy that wanted to capture Elisha. His servant had asked out of fear, "What shall we do?" And Elisha answered, "Fear not, for those with us are more than those with them." Look at 2 Kings 6:16. It's a powerful statement. Here again, the term "fear not" is like saying you have nothing to fear. That's what Elisha was telling his servant. You have nothing to fear. There's more of us than there is of them. Elisha prayed to God to open his servant's eyes, and he saw the host of horses and chariots of fire all around him. Then he prayed again to blind the enemy, and they were all blinded, and Elisha told them they were going the wrong direction, and he took them to Samaria, right in the middle of Jerusalem and all the Israeli people. He had their eyes opened. The irony of this was, when the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha if he should kill them. Elisha told the king not to kill them, but to instead feed them and let them go back home. They told their master what happened, and the Aramean raiders did not come into Israel's land again. That's kind of unique, isn't it? Elisha went from an arena of fear to killing his enemy with kindness. How often does that work? I'm telling you, even in police work, I've found that, you know, if you just kill them with kindness, those who are upset, their attitude starts to change. It's not an absolute, but in this case it worked. In many other cases, it has worked. I've prepared a poem that is fitting for this podcast. Fear grips me tight with icy fingers, a chill that lingers and never lingers. It whispers lies and makes me weak. My heart races, my knees grow weak. It tells me stories of what could be, of all the dangers I cannot see. It paralyzes, it steals my joy. It makes me feel like just a toy. But then a voice, soft and strong, whispers gently, "You belong to me, my child. You are loved, and by my side, you are unshoved." With that assurance in my heart, I take a deep breath and make a start to face my fears with courage bold. I trust in the one who never grows old. For fear may come and fear may go, but with my Savior, I will grow. In strength and faith, in hope and love, till fear is just a memory of. So let fear come, let fear go, for with my Savior, I will grow. In courage and in steadfast trust, till fear is just a fleeting gust. You have a blessed day.